Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Okay. Well, glory to God. We will jump into another series, I guess, that I get the honor of speaking on. And we'll see what the Lord has for us and what He brings to us. I'm excited about this one. This one touches base with me personally. And I also believe that it's going to be very personal to each and every one of you to a degree. Everybody will grab something out of this. And so the title of this, though, is kind of like, you got to put a little sass on it sometimes, and sometimes you put a little question mark on it, and you can say it many different ways, but, you know, it's like, what did you call me? I mean, you know, sometimes you just, what did you call? You walk by and people say a name, or they'll call you, and you're like, what? And then there's other times you're like, you know, I have a tendency to call people boss or jefe or things like that every once in a while. And I do that to people and they're looking at you like, what did you call me? You know, I mean, there's just something about it. But so there's things that we've been called and that's where I want to go here. But I'll read Colossians 3:23 through 24. I believe this is kind of going to be the golden text as we go forward here. And Colossians 3:23 through 24 says this, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." And so there's an old adage, we've all heard this, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me." The thing is that's not in the thoughts of God, because He puts massive value on words. He says that we're to guard our tongues. We are to cast down an argument that will exalt itself against Him. We are to speak as He spoke, with the creative power of heaven upon our lips. You hear that? If we speak as He spoke, then we speak with the creative power of heaven on our lips. I mean, you're talking about someone that spoke the earth into existence. And so when He speaks, things happen. He's not a man that He should lie. And so to have such a belief in what we say that when we expect it to come to pass. Why? Because we don't lie either. We're like God. When we say these things, we speak these things, they happen. That's faith. You believe in what you say. I love how the Lord told me this part. It says that our tongues are the rudder of our lives, that the words we speak are the buckets that are drawn from the wells of our heart, bringing the hidden things to light. That's how He told it to me. I was just like, wow, that's a good one, Lord. That's what it is. It's just that bucket. And He just brings up those things out of the inner depths, and there it is. And you didn't even know it, but those words, that's where they're coming from. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, we said that there. It reveals the depths of your heart. The weight the Lord puts on words was evident in Jesus' responses while on the earth. And we're going to look at a few of those. He spoke only what His Father spoke. What He heard His Father say. Only. That's a tight one. He did only what He saw His Father do. So to know what the Father said about each of us is very important. When we understand the depth of His Word, when we know the creative power of His Word, when we understand that He has called you. Everybody that usually on these nights are saved. And so everybody here heard a calling someday. He called you. He called you. That means that when He did that, He gave you a destiny. He gave you a purpose. He gave you an ability. When He looked out through eternity and saw where you're coming into this place right now, He spoke and He called you. He has a name for you. He has a destiny for you. He has authority that he has commissioned to you and a title for you. So the question is, what did he call me? Because there's how it is. I mean, everybody comes down to it. What did he call me? And so let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, that he will bring illumination to the scriptures, that he'll remind us of things. He'll teach us of things. Father, we thank you that we are your sheep and we hear your voice. And Lord God, we know that you are not quiet, but Lord, you are speaking. Thank you, Lord, for ears that hear tonight. Lord, lead me as we go. May I speak the words exactly as you would have them to be spoken. We thank you, Father, that we can receive from your precious throne room. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's look at some callings. Real quick, we'll start with an easy one, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 is a calling, and a lot of you will be able to just real quickly dismiss a lot of this. I mean, that's just how it happens. Ephesians 4, verse 11. This is where we get the fivefold gifts, is what it's called. Verse 11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers." So there's our fivefold gifts that are in verse 11. In verse 12, though, as we go here, we see the purpose of these gifts. Verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body." So we see that it's these gifts were given to equip and to edify. So if they're given to these people and we're not one of those people, then what are we receiving from those people? We're being equipped and edified. That's just how the gifts work. If you're on one side, you're giving it. If you're on the other side, you're receiving it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's just what you got to pick a side here. You got to pick a side. Verse 13. This starts to speak towards the destiny of what these gifts do, this edifying and this equipping. Here's the destiny that starts to come forth. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." They are there to mature us, to grow us up. That's what those fivefold gifts are for. And so that we see that that's the destiny that those are placed. We know that Pastor Sean has had that placed upon him. As if we want to start looking within our things, we see that he will help equip and edify the body, and that we will grow up if we listen. Simple and put. Okay, verse 14, 15, I kind of ran these ones together. This speaks again to maturation or a maturity process, that we should be, or that we should no longer be children. That means mature, grow up. Simply put, no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. This sounds like if you get a little bit grown up, you don't have some problems. Your life becomes more stable. It's in a way, it's kind of like that old, you know, you can fool a child. I mean, kind of like putting something shiny in a cage and having the coon come along. They'll crawl in there. You can put candy on the ground and a kid will get over there. You can fool a child, but will you fool a mature, equipped and edified person? No. Verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up." Speaking the what in what? Truth in love. Ooh, baby. That's how it has to come, by speaking the truth in love. My tablet shut off. Let me turn it back on here. I'll get back over here. "That we may grow up," again, speaking of maturation, of a maturity process, "that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." And so we do all this growing, we do all this maturing, and why do we do it? Oh, we got to keep reading. From them, verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So if all these gifts are in order, we get edified, then we work together, and then it says at the end there, it says, for the edifying of itself. We start to edify each other. We build each other up. And every joint is supplying, every ligament, everything is working together. And so we start to see that there's two callings here in a way. We have one that's to fivefold ministers and one to the followers. You've been called. If you're not in fivefold ministry, you've definitely been called to be equipped and to be edified and to be grown up and matured so that you can work together with the body of Christ so that you too can edify. Okay, so let's jump over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to go on a little bit more on some callings here. Verse 27. 12:27. Now you are Christ's body and individual members of it. So do you qualify? I have to ask the question, is everybody here saved? Okay. So this is like preaching to the choir. That's what we got right now. I got an amen section that just ain't going to give up on me tonight. I mean, we're going to go and have some fun. Oh, it'll get fun, I promise you. Okay, now we are Christ's body and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles. Oh, this is a different list. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. So the fivefold ministry gifts are job descriptions for a minister. What are you going to do with them? Are you an evangelist, pastor? They are a description. That's what they do. They're like, predominantly, this is what you're going to do if you are going to be an apostle. Predominantly, this is what you're going to do if you're going to be a pastor. And so they are job descriptions within it. But so as we go here, but this list here is not a minister's list only. Because if we look at this, there's a saying in here. It says, so if you look here one more time, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, there's a really plain, ordinary word here. It's unassuming, has nothing special about it. Five little letters. Anybody have an idea what that word is? Helps. But you know what? There's something really also unique about that. What's around it? Let's put this word in its setting in Scripture. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, administrations, and varieties of tongues. That is a pretty supernatural list. Not so plain and ordinary. That's not plain and ordinary at all. Unless you ordinarily have gifts of healings and miracles in your life. Are you prophesying? Teaching? Where are you? So we look at this. There's five little words that sit there. You know, they sit there. Those little letters, they sit there. They tucked in the wonders of these appointed gifts of the church. If we define this word by its setting, we know that it has its own supernatural ministry. So I'm going to say this. If you need to write it down, you can do this because this is where it is. Helps is a supernatural ministry. Period. Ordained by God. Given to the church. And as we're going to see, without it, even Jesus would have been hindered. We already know he was hindered when there was no faith. you'll also see that without helps, ministry would have taken a major sideline. So we're going to go into it. The ministry gift to help says to hold things up, to aid, to build. So that's what helps is. It builds you to aid it. So obviously I asked that question, are you a part of God's family? Everybody, easy one. Yes. You know, that's no big deal. So the next question was a little bit harder. What is your place in this family of God? So I do propose an answer. If you're not called to the fivefold gifts, maybe you're called to just be an aid. Maybe you're just here to help. And so we're going to focus on the ministry of helps explicitly tonight. Okay, I will not minimize the importance of this gift. We'll see that that without this gift, even Jesus would have been hindered during his time on the earth. We are the quote-unquote help that God has provided for our ministers on this earth that they can fulfill the vision that the Lord has given them. Man, how would you like, just take it, let's get selfish with it just a little bit. What if somebody came beside you just to make sure that you succeeded in everything you did? What if somebody was right there willing to help you go all the way through every extra mile? What if somebody was just sitting there, they're willing to let themselves do whatever it takes to make sure that you succeed? That helps. And so, but, you know, there was some words that were used there. In Ephesians 5, we did focus in on no longer children, and we are to grow up. So, these gifts are for what? Mature believers. And when we get into like night 2 and 3, we'll get into some real fun about that. But these are for mature believers. A truly mature Christian will help, not hinder, the fivefold gifts. A truly mature Christian will always build up and aid the ones that they're under. They enable the minister that God placed them under to equip and perfect the body of Christ. Let's go to Numbers 11. Let's get one of the first examples of this ministry in the Word of God. Numbers 11. This is with Moses. And Moses was nuts. I'm just going to say it. Who? I have a company. I only have a couple employees. He led like a million people without a helper. That's nuts. I mean, I don't know. They better have had some of those laws that I didn't read in here, but you know that you hear about the Middle East where they're cutting off hands and they're doing things like that, because you need something to put some assistance. Because a million people, man. Could you imagine? A million. Anyway, Numbers 11, verse 10. This is what it looked like a little bit in the ministry of helps as far as in Moses' time. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families. That happens without great leadership. Everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight, and you have laid the burden of all these people on me?" So they're crying, Moses is crying. You know what the good news is? He took it to God instead of to the person beside him. That's important right there. You take it to God. Verse 12, "Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child?'" Ooh, how close did Moses care for these people? Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child. That's some care. This guy's motivated for the future of those people. "To the land which you swore to your fathers, Verse 13, where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat and we may eat. Well, he did call him a child before. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Put that one on your refrigerator. Sometimes it gets a little deep when you are pressing yourselves into leadership. If you don't find yourself at some point in your life here, you've never led anybody. Okay? You will find yourself here if you do anything above only following. I'm just telling you the truth. Okay, verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it in yourself alone. So they took 70 people. They bring them into the church. They appoint these guys as elders. And then the Lord supernaturally helps a supernatural ministry. Takes and imparts the spirit that was upon Moses and disperses and gives it to the 70 people so that their hearts, how does it say it? Got to get to my right scriptures here now. That they will put the same... I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Anybody that's married should know what a helpmate is. Amen. That's what I'm just going to say there. So God has not changed, though. He is the same God that was yesterday, today, and forever. The one that appointed and established this is still here now. We see that, we know that Jesus is the head of the church. Anybody going to agree with that? Or do we got to, I mean, I'll get you some of those scriptures here later. But Ephesians 5:23 and Colossians 1:18. He was anointed. His anointing, though, was transferred by the Holy Spirit upon men. And they're called to the fivefold ministry. Who appoints a fivefold ministry? Man? God. God. Okay, so Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the Holy Spirit anoints these men, and they receive a vision, if you would, for what the Lord has for them. They have it. Pastor Sean has received vision for this church. There is a vision for this church. But so he's anointed. He in turn releases it, though, upon the helps ministry in the body of Christ. And we find people that are unified in heart, that now have every joint supplied, that are working together to edify, to build up, to exhort, to aid the church. So what I guess I'm actually saying is that there's a calling to sweep floors or mop, to scrub toilets or make coffee, to run a sound booth or sit on a stage. There is an anointing to shovel snow, go out and help change oil. How about hold a baby or mow a lawn, change a diaper? There is anointing. There is a supernatural ability. And if you don't believe it, then you have no faith for it. So when you're standing there to do it, you're going to feel, oh, what's a faithless person? Full of fear, anxiety, worry. So you have to believe, or you're not going to stand. So for us to be in the into helps ministry. But here's one thing that's not there. Teaching is not always a requirement for helps ministry. Everybody always wants to jump immediately to the Sunday school. But teaching is not a requirement for health ministry. It's awesome. Anyway, one thing to remember in all this is 1 Corinthians 12:24 says, but God composed the body. God composed the body. Verse 18, the word says, but now God has set the members. Who did it? God. God set the members in the body. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says that each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. So God and God alone sets the members in the body, not us or our skill set. But I'm really good at what I do. Tough. Did the Lord call you to it? Yeah. We're going to get into that a little bit here. Because God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Yeah. He loves a real good story. He loves taking you from the gutter, you know, to... T.D. Jakes always used to say, from the guttermost to the uttermost, is what he always said. And that's what he loves. He loves a rags-to-riches story. Because you know what that is? A testimony. And everybody likes a good testimony. Everybody wants to overcome something. And that's what God specializes in. So he does not only call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So let's look into this just a little bit as we go. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Let's look at somebody that the Lord called. And what the prophet of God, let's look at what he decided was his decision on this. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. See, God always tells people, quit whining. Have you ever noticed that? Because he always gives you a future. And a wine doesn't create a future. He looks beyond it. Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he'll kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, and he goes. And so I'm going to jump all the way down to when he jumps inside. And verse 6, so it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Oh, I mean, if I'm picking one, God, you did good. That is one qualified chunk of flesh. That right there, whew, that's the king. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. Ladies, abs, leave. I had some once. My six-pack became a keg, and I never drank. But I care about this body, so I insulated those abs. That's what this is. This is insulation so that it's there. Yes. Do not look at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, but man looks at the outward appearance, and the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord knows, look at this. The Lord knows your heart. Your heart. Your heart. Specifically you. He knows you. So much that when he calls you, he's looking at your future. Verse 8, so Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for he will not sit down until he comes. They were going to eat. Food's getting cold. Come on, get the boy here. I mean, they did not have ovens and microwaves. So you keep that on the spit too long, it may get charcoal. Anyway, verse 12, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking, but, you know, ruddy. I mean, everybody knows what that is, right? I'm trying. I'm trying here. I'm going for my best shot. No, I'm just joking. This is not what he looked like when he came in. No, as a young boy. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Again, an anointing. Who would Samuel have picked? Somebody else. He wouldn't have picked David. But God, and we know David's story. David's story is one the most wrote about in all of the Bible, is the story of David. And we know through his story that it was his heart that sought the Lord. And he made plenty of mistakes. Plenty of mistakes. And so we see that he was not necessarily qualified. How about Gideon? What was he doing? Hiding out? We can jump over there real fast. Judges 6, 11 through 26, or 11 through 16 is where we're going. Judges. Judges 6. Okay. And I like how this one goes. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress. You do not thresh in a winepress. He's hiding. He's down in a valley trying to throw up grain so that the wind will blow through it. And he's trying to thresh his stuff down in the valley where there is no wind. Don't let him see me. Don't let him see me. The Midianites. You got to understand the heart of this guy. He didn't believe in himself. So that's why we relate. Okay. So he threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." How'd you find me down here? You know, are you got the right guy here? Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Oh, I'm in such a problem. Why am I here? Why has this happened to us? If the Lord is with us." That's his answer. This is your leader. Think about it. This is what the leader's going to be. He will. I mean, this is, I mean, when I'm looking at who's going to liberate my nation, I want the guy that's hiding in the bottom of a valley. And when you tell him that he's mighty, he's like, "Oh, why?" I mean, that's just how I see it anyway. And as the Lord appeared, Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened? And where are all his miracles, which his fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." That is so awesome. "Have I not sent you?" You got to finish that. You can't just stop where I did. "Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan, my family, my upbringing, what I came from, is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. He made an excuse. "You don't know my upbringing. You don't know where I came from. Do you know who I am?" He's trying to call him a mighty man of valor. He's telling him what he's going to do. He don't believe God. He don't believe God. And said, and the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Now, so that's like I said, that's not my first choice when I'm going to go look for leaders. The Lord's changed that. I mean, I've now hired people that I don't think I ever should have. I'm just joking. No. That was a fun inside joke right there. That was funny. Sorry about that, Josh. Okay. And then let's jump to Judges 7. Just jump right over one page. Verses 9 right here. This is when they're going. They've already done the 300. They're already down to nothing. And it says, it happened in the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I've delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Pura, your servant. Now, in the beginning of this, he tells everybody that's afraid to get up and leave. He didn't get up and leave himself. I'm with you. I'm just out of here. You guys have fun. You know, he didn't do that. So the fearful ones left and they stayed. And then Gideon's like, okay, Lord, what do we do now? That's a big hit. And then he says, take them to the water, watch how they drink. So they do that. He gets them down to 300 and he goes, now are you afraid? Let's find out. So it says, but if you're afraid, go down to the camp with Pura, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands will be strengthened to go against the camp. Then he went down with Pura, his servant. So what was he? He was afraid. There you go. Your leader or yourself can be afraid. But as long as you're walking in obedience with what the Lord told you, it does not matter. Fear? It can be despised. Perfect love casts out all fear. He loved his Lord so much that he followed it. Lord took care of him. Okay. Now the Midian, you can read the rest of that story. It goes all the way down through 15. He hears them talking about a thing. They had a dream. There's a vision. And they saw that Gideon himself, actually named Gideon, is going to come and wipe them out. And sure enough, it all happened that way. So we see that God will qualify the called. He will qualify you. Do not look at yourself. Only listen to his voice and what he says about you when he speaks in your ear. We must pick up the vision of our church. Our personal vision, this is very important, if it was birthed by God, will assist, aid, or help the vision of the church that you're in. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If your personal vision does not aid, assist, or help within the church that you're placed, go to another church or give up on your personal vision. That's the answer. One of two. You are either not supposed to be in that body, or you're holding onto a vision that is yours. That's how it has to be. We have to work together. We'll get into that too as we keep going. If the church's vision and yours are not cohesive, then one must go. Either find a church that your vision enables, or if God has placed you there, submit to the vision God gave you for that church. With that church, submit to it. It's amazing what this does. Let's look at some examples that Jesus has. Jesus' example. So let's jump to the New Testament. Matthew 10. Ministry of Helps. Supernatural ministry. Just put it on your chest. Supernatural ministry. Matthew 10, verse 5 says this. These 12 Jesus sent out, commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, Jesus sent 12 people. I thought he could do it himself. You know what that is? That's good business strategy right there. When you replicate yourself and you spread it out, because Jesus was finite. This is a physical body sitting upon the earth. He just got himself into 12 different locations. Oh, come on. Multiplicity without the problems. Anybody saw that show, right? Never mind. sorry. He was in there. So Jesus sent out the disciples. The helps ministry expanded his sphere of influence. Jesus was limited in reach as a man clothed in flesh as you and I, but he broadened his coverage area by sending out helps ministers. He broadened his coverage area. You know, that's a cell phone gig right there. Now, you may say that they were disciples, though. Those are disciples, not the helps ministry. I could hear you say that, but I heard that we're also supposed to be called to be disciples. Anyway, so let's look though. Let's play with the argument a little bit that those were disciples and not helps ministers. So let's see. Matthew 14, verse 15. Matthew 14, verse 15. Says this. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the village and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it and gave it to the people. Because Jesus does it all. No, he gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to... who collected the fish and the food in the first place? Jesus didn't have that in his sack lunch? They found it. So they collected it. They dispersed it. Well, let's keep. So they all ate and they were filled. That's good. This is a great story. Christians love to eat. Anyway, sorry. They were all filled and they took up 12 basketfuls. Who did? They or he? No, Jesus. Jesus went around, picked up 12 basketfuls and hauled them around. Oh, the disciples did. Well, picking up food and handing it out, that's a disciple's job. Okay, let's just keep going. Matthew 8. Go back a couple pages there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. 23. There we go. Now when he got into the boat, the disciples followed him. He's a good leader. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke, saying, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." But I got an issue here. If Jesus was asleep, who was rowing the boat? Who was taking it from one side to the other? Who had responsibility for this whole, who organized the truck, the car, the hotel? Who put everything together? I thought Jesus did everything himself. No, okay. Well, we'll keep going. Mark, let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark 14. Mark 14. Verse 12. Mark 14, verse 12. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover of the lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare?" They are so good by this point. "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" They were going to go and fix him up. Okay, let's just keep reading. And he sent out 2 of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which we may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. So who set up the whole Last Supper? Who found the donkey for him to ride on? Who did these things? He did it for himself. No, he didn't. He relied on helps ministry. They were helps ministers. They weren't his ministers at this point. They're walking around with him. So what is the work of helps ministries? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 18 says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired." God has purposed each one of us. You're purposed. You should just say it to yourself. I mean, we got to realize this. He loves you. He's looking at your heart. You're purposed. You are special treasures. You got to know who you are. Got to know who you are. Let's just jump down to verse 26. "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individual members of it." Now that we understand that we're starting to look at this, but the verse right before this, suffering, this is where I'm going to key in a little bit right here. Verse 25 comes before 26, but 26, go ahead and hold that one up there for a second, 26 if you will. It's that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. So we're looking at this, and the verse that precedes this, go ahead and look at suffers, because this is something that we do not like to do. Verse 25 says this, so that there may be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. If we care for one another, we have to realize that if there's a lack of care, a member will suffer. And care is not just a nice word. Care is an action word. It's not just an attitude. Because we can't look in the scriptures and just find Jesus' attitude. We can see that there was an action. There was an outflow. There was something tangible going on when he exhibited care. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 actually says this, that, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. These verses were wrote to the body of Christ. We're to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Stimulate one another. This is all within the body. So our church is only as strong as our service to one another. We're a body. I mean, if my leg don't work, all and my arm don't work, the next thing we're going to have is, you know, I'll look like one of those things where you'd hit the button and they just fall on the ground and then they come back up, you know. But that's how it is. That's what the body of Christ kind of looks like, though. People are like, oh, there's the body of Christ, and somebody hits a button and just, and they're down. And you're like, well, where are they at? Well, their support ministry, their aid, is gone. They have a great vision. They look like they're going to do great. Ooh, yeah. They just had never had anybody with them. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says this. This is an Old Testament verse. I love them. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up or hit the call button. I mean, anyway, sorry. That's every time I think of one person falling, it's... Anyway. Do they even sell those anymore still? Do they? Okay. Did you get one for Christmas? No. Okay, I'm just checking. Sorry. When the old guy answers, you must continue pressing the point. Anyway, I'm sorry, Ron. I love you. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. We collectively are called the body of Christ or the church. We are stronger together than independently, which means you chose to be, or individually because you ostracize yourself. But either way, you're better when you're together. So Deuteronomy 32:30 says this, if one puts 1,000 to flight and two puts 10,000 to flight, I want to now pose a question, then how many does a unified church put to flight? Come on now. How much flight is sitting in this room right now? You want to start, I mean, it's like a 10,000 and another 10,000, and we'll just do it by 10s, 20, 30, 40. I mean, we got 100,000 that we're going to go after, and we didn't even try doing it by multiplication. That was simple addition, because I don't want to go to multiplication. Anyway, I'm not doing the math. Anyway, Ephesians 1:22 states, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, and that he is Jesus. All things, and we are the body of Christ, the very feet that tread over all things. I am part of the body of Christ. Glory to God. So are we a weak church? Absolutely not. Incapacitated? No, we're not. So I ask another question. Why are there so many problems being found in the church instead of answers? And I'm talking in the body. We're talking about the organ, man, whatever. We're talking about the church, the body of Christ. Here's one thing that the Lord had for me, or had me say here. A child will produce a problem that a mature person has an answer for. And what is Helps Ministry? It's for who? Mature. If we don't grow up, we just gonna squabble like little children. Ooh. Yeah. Something about love was mentioned earlier, too. But, yeah, we'll get there. Anyway, we are all God's children. He has an unlimited supply of wisdom for us. So let's ask the mature one what he has us to do. So why do we continually rely upon anyone other than God? What I'm saying is this. If we see a need in the body of Christ, realize it was revealed to us for us to do something about it, not to tell somebody else about it. Well, what you need is a better children's ministry. Well, what you need is this in the worship team. Well, what you need is we need some fog lights and a light bar, or you need this in your sound. What you need is a younger youth minister. What you need... Well, what I need is you to step into your role in the body of Christ and grow up. That's what we need. Now, it can get even more fun. We're gonna go places now. Glory to God. Well, realize that these things are revealed for a reason and that we're fully capable to do something about it. We should never, as a mature believer, say, I wish somebody would do something about it. Now, I know that this gets dicey and tight and everything like this. You can do whatever you want to, okay? Let the Holy Spirit speak here, because I'm not trying, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you walk out of here condemned, you heard from a false spirit. But if you walk out of here convicted, then you heard from the Lord God Almighty. Okay? So, if it's one of those things like, I need somebody to shovel that walk, and you got two capable hands, go shovel a walk. There it is, you know? I mean, I'm blown away half the time. I don't know why. Woman's nuts. She's right there. Wanda, that woman will stand outside and shake somebody's hand, and it's freezing out there. And why is she out there? Because she got a hand and a heart. Something like that. Hand and a heart. Woman goes out, goes get crazy for God. But anyway. God... Here, let me get to where... Did I slide my thing too far? Okay. When the disciples... I love this. In Luke 9:13, we reread it. The disciples told Jesus the people were hungry. What was his response? Feed them. So, what if we started saying... You know, your weeds are getting tall around the edge, and you're like, well, you know, you got two hands, go pull them. Got a lawnmower, weed eat. Got a paintbrush, paint. You got a heart for children down there. You think that the floor of the bathroom looks too dirty? Why don't you clean it? We're going to get into this. We're just kind of scratching this a little bit. I mean, it feels like a lottery ticket to me right now, because I just don't know what if I'm going to win. But I'm scratching. Okay, I'm scratching. I'm just telling you how it is. Yeah. Okay. You are the someone. You are to do something about it. There has been vision released to you of what to do. My God has never revealed a problem. He's only revealed provision to overcome. But it will always take a sacrifice, a constant dying of self, a thing of release of time and energy has to be needed. There, you'll have to have a release of your time and energy. It's the only way to serve, okay? I'm going to tell you this. There is no way to serve without giving of your own time or your own energy. Yeah, has to go there. God, though, provides ability. He provides grace. In order to see his hand at work in your life, you will need to be in the place he called you to. Of course there's giants in the land. Why wouldn't he send you into battle where the plan only calls for a trumpet and a torch? Why not just send you into battle with a sling and a stone? This sounds good, right? Just walk around the walls. God doesn't do it. He don't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. The only way you'll see the hand of God is when you remove yours from your steering wheel on life. Let him drive. If you let God drive, the sights are incredible. The experience will leave you awestruck. The testimony will be impactful for future generations. So onward to victory, dear soldier. That's how the Lord had me say it. If you want a testimony, and we're going to get into all this as we go. I mean, I'm really happy about this little series. But the testimonies, the ministry opportunities, what the Lord gives us. Exodus 24:13, they're just fantastic. 24:13, I just got to hurry. That's what I'm pushing. So Moses arose with Joshua his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. The word servant there, that one says assistant. That works good. Yeah. Anyway, also is defined as minister. It says that in some verses, it says minister. But what it really means in this is not preacher. It means more like a personal attendant. So assistant is a New King James Version did very good on that. Muy bueno. The best way that we can understand it is like how a waiter or waitress would minister to your table. They serve you. They're your attendant. Here's some things the Lord wanted me to bring out on that. A good minister, though, is worth their reward. I mean, a good waiter or waitress is worth a good tip. Wait, what's the difference? That's what I'm saying. What's the difference? Wait till we go. Oh, Lord. Glory to God, we're going one more trip here. Okay, so do you not tip a server more or less depending on the service that they provided? Another question, do they do anything, that waiter or waitress, do they do anything that you yourself cannot do? Fill your water? Bring you food? Okay, so they don't do anything that you yourself couldn't do. Could Jesus row the boat? Could Jesus do the fish? Could Jesus heal the sick, cast out demons? You know what the difference is? There's one difference. If you don't do it, the reward is removed. The minister, the server, they get a reward. Our first verse that we started on was Colossians 3, 23 through 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive, the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Because you serve. I like how Buddy Bell put it. There's a book I'd read about from him. He put this in there. He says, I would rather have my pastor before God in prayer and in the word than have him sweeping the floor. I want him perfectly in tune with God so that he can minister to the people. This is what helps ministry is about. It's about creating the utmost. Jesus, because his hands weren't collecting food, because he wasn't doing those things, he was ministering. We have to look at what it does for the others. It opens up an opportunity, helps. I mean, even in a marriage, there's a reason why a wife is called a helpmate. The helps ministry is amazing. It will enable you and aid you. Acts 2, We're just about to close it up here. I'm not going to get into those next ones. But Acts 2. Or not 2, sorry. Acts 6. Acts 6, verse 2. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom." Maturity. Do you see? It just sits there. Good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. That's a mature person. Whom we may appoint over this business. Joshua was Moses' minister, his servant. This included all the menial tasks that came with the position. All the menial tasks. You saddle the horse, you load the car, you pull it around, you do whatever. So, but his proximity to the leader also trained him for his future. How long are you willing to sit beside someone to see what the God-given potential is inside you as we grow together? This is a great picture of the church, ministering or serving the Lord, doing the daily again and again, being trained and matured to find ourselves replicated into the next generation, living beyond ourselves, a part of a much bigger picture than we could put ourselves into. Looking forward to the day when the Lord will say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's where we'll stop tonight, and we'll pick it up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we will continue to hear as you speak these words and mull them over. Lord, if there's callings upon people's hearts, call. Father, if there's correction, correct. But Father, if there is condemnation, I renounce it in the name of Jesus. Satan, you have no right to accuse the brethren. We will walk in freedom. We will walk in love. We will walk in the fullness of Christ within this church. We thank you, Father. Go with the people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.